privilege to be here this morning with you. I trust we'll all be blessed of the Lord. I don't know how you're going to hear me at the back or not. The amplifier's turned up. A few years ago, I was in a meeting in the Carolinas, and there was a deaf fellow sitting there, and I didn't know he had a hearing aid. He didn't turn it up, and so I turned mine up. I've suffered ever since. I just about ruined my voice. So I try to keep it down and rely on the amplifier. And I try to talk a little more slowly so you might get what I say. And I have to clear my throat a lot, so you have to not feel sorry for me, but you'd have to just excuse me because it's something I don't want to do, but I'm sort of stuck with doing. And I have my little own brand of chewing tobacco here. It's called Meloids. I use those a little bit to kind of keep the throat lubricated. So might as well tell you ahead of time my faults and my foibles, so you sort of won't be at odds with me. Now, as Brother Gunther said, Wednesday night we'll try to answer questions. If I haven't got the answer, I'll tell you. But sometimes there are questions that people puzzle are very, very simple. They have a direct answer from Brother Branham. And then many times we can fortify them by the Word. So you're welcome to bring your questions and I'll see what I can do with them. I hope they're very simple, easy to understand, something you already know, but just more or less needs a little extra scripture to help you out. I try to make my messages as short as I can and simple as I can in order not to take too much time. But I can't always guarantee that. A lot depends on the people. You get started preaching and you're going to stay by your notes very nicely, and pretty soon some little tug comes along and you're into a bypass. I went to a Bible school for about 4 or 5 weeks. I quit before they quit me. I knew I was going to get kicked out, so I got out ahead of time. But I won't forget that the fellow that taught homiletics, he said, never go into a bypass, no matter how interesting it is, because invariably you'll lose yourself and the people. Well, that sure is true, but I never learned it. So if you'll ever get, I'll get lost in one of these subjects sometime. Well, I got notes here to sort of help me, providing my glasses are clean enough to help me to see. I thought I'd gone blind for a while when I took my glasses out one day and washed them. I'm so happy to find out that cleaning your glasses improved your eyesight. I think that's the way it is many times with the Bible. You dust it off, you'd be surprised how much light there's left in the old book. More light than people are willing to recognize. Then, of course, Friday night, and maybe I'll take a little more time Friday night on a subject than I'm going to take today. But we've planned the meetings this way in order to give people a chance to come to service as often as they can. I know you have a long way to drive. Your problem is the same as in the larger cities where I go. People are on 1, 2, 3 trips. They can't get to service. And many times the driving 45 miles in city traffic, like Chicago and New York, is just as bad as you coming about 100 miles and more. So we scatter our meetings during the week if I'm able to stay that long. Normally I go on Friday, preach Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then if I can find a small place where there are not many people working, I'll take a service during the week, but I always try to preach weekends. So this is why we have just a few services during the week. So if you could come Wednesday night, and you do drive maybe for 2 hours, it won't maybe hurt you and the children one night. Then, of course, Friday night, I'm not trying to get you here to hear me preach. Now, don't mistake me. I'm going to preach to 3 people than 30. I like tiny groups. Not that I'm going to put you out of the picture because you're a nice large group here, but I'm not pulling for a crown, just trying to tell you what we're doing. And then Friday night, if you came, well, maybe you could sleep in Saturday if you're lucky, if you wouldn't. So this is why the service is. I thought I'd tell you, because some may wonder why we don't have several nights in the week just for the people that are near here. It's to try to be fair to everybody, and that's all we want to do. Now, I want to bring a message this morning, something Brother Gunther said that's really true, and it's actually the topic of my, the subject of my message. It's misunderstanding what God is doing. And I'm not going to say things that you're not already aware of. I doubt if I'll be able to do that. But I do hope that how I say what you're already aware of will confirm it to you and increase your faith. to a greater degree than what it already is. So if you'd like just to turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, and we're going to read verses 13 to 27. Now, before we read, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we approach now unto your word, not only to read the Lord, but to believe that you'll give us the inspiration by the Holy Spirit to say the exact truth concerning it, not to either add to it or take from it, but to break it down, Lord, that it might be as bread broken to the people. Now, Lord, I pray that every word will be the word that you give, and we won't emphasize it in the wrong places or say anything we ought not to say, but to say it exactly according to truth, and may it be understood in the very same way. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves at this time now and believe, O God, that you've heard us, and we prayed according to your will, so therefore we believe we have the answer given to us already. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning then at the 13th verse, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And when they talked together, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company were made as astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now the scripture which I have read you is a perfect example of the subject of which we have based our consideration this morning. Now, God has done a most wonderful and awesome thing at this particular time, yet it is not apprehended by the people. They do not understand what God has done in their midst. They not only seem, but they're actually unable to grasp it. This story of the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the very heart of man's eternal destiny. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the sacrificial Lamb of God, there would be not one of us who could possibly come into the resurrection and fulfill that which God had destined for us. All the very scripture, when you find hundreds of types and shadows of the sacrificial lamb, of the red heifer, the turtle dove, the bulls and goats, all of these various formulas of worship which Israel went through year after year, all these types and shadows were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ when he hung upon Calvary's cross, and there when the veil of the temple was rent, and they saw the Son of Man hanging upon that cross as a sacrifice for the world, the full mercy seat of Almighty God came into full view. Yet this was entirely misunderstood. No one knew it. His great sacrifice for their sins was of no consequence to the majority of the people. Even as it says in Lamentations, the first chapter, verse 12, he said, Nothing to you, all you that pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. All men, and I repeat, all men bar none, failed to see its importance. They failed to understand what was actually taking place before their very eyes. It was only after the scripture had been fulfilled through his death, and then revealed unto the disciples, that they understood it. It was not enough to see the scripture fulfilled before their very eyes, and I repeat, and please do not fail to get this, whoever you are. Though I have no axe to grind with you, this evidence that I have brought you by the scripture is incontrovertible. It cannot be denied. It cannot be gainsaid by anybody. And I say this, it was not enough to see the scripture fulfilled before their very eyes. It was not enough. It had to be explained. And not only did it have to be explained, but it had to be revealed. Seeing it was not enough. Explanation was not enough. It was only by a revelation. People say today, I am sure that if I saw God do something in my day, I would know it. Let me say right now, and I try to be kind because I'm not the most kind person living, you're a liar and a hypocrite. Right. You are so puffed up with your own egotism and your own thoughts of your own spirituality, you wouldn't miss it like the Pharisees. There is no record in Scripture anyplace where God's Word was understood as being fulfilled. It takes a divine revelation. Yet all over the world, people are claiming that they would know what God is doing, not understanding when He stood here in the form of a human flesh, they took Him out and they crucified Him, and worshiping God at the same time, screaming their hosannas to the very one they claimed to worship, and there they hanged Him upon a cross. They never understood it. There wasn't one person in that vast crowd that understood one single solitary thing that God was doing. There was not one with a genuine revelation. You know your Bibles. This is something so few people understand concerning God doing things. God fulfilling His Word before their very eyes. Explaining it to them. And they missing the revelation. This is exactly what was brought to our attention by Jesus Christ Himself in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist. Was He? He certainly was not. Some say you're Elijah. He certainly was not. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, all educated guesses based upon presumption. And He said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen, he was right, but notice what Jesus said. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter did not receive the revelation by himself. He did not know who Jesus was by himself. He did not know who Jesus was by what other people said. He only knew it on the grounds of a revelation. And Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. The rock of what? The rock of spiritual revelation by the Holy Ghost. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you never got this by anything that I said. That's right. You never got this by an explanation, because he didn't. He said, you never got of anything that I said or what I did. He said, the only reason you know this is because the Spirit of God has revealed it to you. No man can know God or the things of God apart from a revelation by the Holy Ghost if you're taught it day and night and you see it day and night. Right. That's right. That's absolutely right. See? And Jesus had to do this constantly with the disciples. Always. Always he had to show them. They could not grasp it. Notice it in the book of Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus took the scroll, remember? It's the Septuagint scroll, by the way, which is the ancient Old Testament put into the Greek by the 70 scholars under Ptolemy in Alexandria. Notice in the 16th verse, beginning to 20. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah, is simply Greek for the Hebrew Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? Do you notice in here that Jesus took the very Bible? He took the book of Isaiah, and he said, You people have seen me do the miracles. You've seen me heal the sick and raise the dead. I've stilled the storm. I've broken the loaves and fishes. I've turned your water into wine. I've shown you who exactly I was, but you didn't get it. You don't understand that I am that one here in Isaiah. I am the Word of God fulfilled in human flesh before your eyes. Look at me and see. But they didn't grasp it. They didn't know what he was talking about. Explain it all he could. They couldn't get it because they said, Hear not these gracious words. Why, this is Joseph's son. But where did he get the ability? What a gracious, lovely person. They missed it entirely because there was no revelation. Even though they saw it day after day, year in and year out, for it was a short space, but how long do you have to watch a thing? How long must you hear a thing? How long must you be belabored by it, belaboring until it gets a hold of you? Forever, unless God himself reveals it by the Holy Ghost. Here was that word of God in human flesh. See, they missed it. Notice over here in John, the third chapter. Also, verses 1 to 13, where Nicodemus came to him by night. I won't read it. You know it. And Nicodemus came and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know you're a man sent from God. Because no man can do the things you do unless God with him. He said, I'm looking at a man. I'm seeing a human being. I know about his birth. I can feel his hands. They become cold. They become warm. He's a man. But he's doing things that only God can do. And I can't understand it. I can't get to it. And Jesus said to him, he said, don't try to connect it up with some mystery as though you're going to learn what I'm doing. You must be born again. If a man is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Almighty God. If a man is not born again, if he does not have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never see the things of Almighty God because they're spiritually revealed and spiritually discerned. And without the Spirit of God, you're not only none of his, but you cannot apprehend or gain or understand in any way the things of Almighty God. They are ignorance to you. You don't want them, though you may claim to want them, and I wouldn't deny any hungry heart wanting some of the things of God like Nicodemus, but the question still is brought to our attention here. Can you know them without a revelation? You cannot. See? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless the Spirit be revealed, unless the Spirit of God is showing you these truths, you simply cannot see them. You are not a part of the kingdom of God without the Holy Ghost and the divine revelation that lies therein. See? Now, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was bringing to to the people's attention the very fact that I've already quoted part of it to you in John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And then it says over here, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, that Word, was absolutely made flesh. And they gazed upon it, they handled it, but they did not know the truth until it came by revelation. There is the whole secret. It takes a revelation. For here was the Word of God brought before the people in full and complete manifestation, and yet they crucified the very Lord of glory. You'll notice that John the Baptist had the same trouble. He explained the very Word of God being manifest and fulfilled before their eyes in John 1, 22 to 24. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? They came to John. That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, and sent the prophet Isaiah. See? That's what John said. What was he quoting from? He was quoting from Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and 3 that says, The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. They said, John, who are you? He said, You really want to know? And they said, Yes, we want to know. We want an answer. He said, Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Read with me that third verse. Of course, I'm just telling you in our language what it amounts to because they had no chapters and verses. But he said, Read it. He said, You know now who I am. I am that word of Scripture. I am the Word of God absolutely revealed before you. Do you think they could take that? They couldn't take that. They said, Why not? Why shame on a man saying that he is the Word of God? Well, what was he? What was he? What was he but the Word of God? I say, what was he but the Word of God? Now, you tell me. You have your own theories, and your theories don't amount to a thing. He was the Word of God. That actual Word. Now, he wasn't all the Word of God. He was that Word of God. You know that God called a heathen king by his name before he was born, 400 years before he was born? In the book of Isaiah, he said, I have called my shepherd Cyrus 400 years before Cyrus was born. And Cyrus, the heathen king, could have stood before the people, and they might have said, Cyrus, who are you anyway? And he could have said, I am that Word of God fulfilled, given 400 years ago. The Word of God fulfilled in human flesh. And they did not understand it, but that was truth. Notice what Jesus said concerning John. For he also made mention of who John was. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verses 10 and 11, here is what Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, who is this one? This one is the same one that Jesus spoke of over here in Matthew, the 17th chapter. And in Matthew, the 17th chapter, Jesus speaking, I think I got my verses crossed up there. It's all right, though. He's speaking of the fact that John was Elijah. That's back in the 11th chapter. Sorry. Swung to the wrong chapter on that. But he was speaking that John was that Elijah which was for to come. It's found in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, speaking those very same things. Jesus was saying concerning John the Baptist, this is that Word of God fulfilled in human flesh. If this is hard to understand, go back to the very beginning of Scripture, back to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, God said, let there be light. What was there? There was light. Is that correct? And God said, let the waters divide from the waters. What happened? The waters divided. God said, let the earth bring forth. The earth brought forth. What happened? Every single time God gave His Word, which must be brought into view, then that thing came into view. And that was that Word of God. See? The Word manifested. So, when God, in His mercy and grace, He spoke to the people. And he said, there would be a voice of one crying in us, one who would make straight the way of the Lord. One who would level all the high places. One who would bring them all up. That Word of God could only be manifested in the body of a person. And that person was actually the Word of God fulfilled before their very eyes. Now, this makes clear what the prophet said when he taught us that God is his own interpreter. He makes known His Word, interpreting it, by bringing it to pass. The Word of God is interpreted by God bringing to pass that very Word. And God interprets His Word, said Brother Branham, by fulfilling it. The fulfillment was manifested before the people. Certainly it was. But even then, they failed to realize the Word of God was being fulfilled. They had missed the revelation. There was no revelation given to them. This word, which in that day opened the eyes of some and blinded the eyes of others. It was the same word. It is not two words. Now, here's where a lot of people go wrong. They don't understand that the same word will blind one, will open another's eyes. Open one's eyes, blind the next one. Did Jesus Christ come with two kinds of words or one kind of word? He came with one word. That's all he brought. One. He didn't speak to the Pharisees down here and the disciples down here. He didn't speak to one group down here and another group over there and say, now, I hope you folk never get together because, you see, I've told them one thing, I'm telling you another thing. And there was one word. And the word opened the eyes of some and blinded the eyes of others. And it was the word fulfilled that opened the eyes of some, see, to a, like men, like trees walking, a sort of a blind, half blind, a gray color was in there. Began opening their eyes, see where they could perceive a little. And the same word, closed tight, the eyes of others. Actually blinded. It's the very same word. Notice, Jesus stood by a little woman at the well. She had 5 husbands, already gone through 5, living with another one. Now you might call her a very immoral person. But the minute that he brought the word to her, her eyes were open, and there she saw Messiah. And that very same word brought to Simon the Pharisee, blinded his eyes completely. See? The very same Word of God. Now, many people in this day think things like this don't happen anymore. They say, well, now, I agree with you, Brother Bill. That took place 2,000 years ago. God does not do that anymore. Because, you see, we have the whole Bible. It's all here before us. And all we've got to do is to examine Scripture and compare the Scripture, and nobody will make that mistake again. Well, I can't agree with you. I believe that we're in the same problem that they had 2,000 years ago. And they've had it for the last 2,000 years, not just 2,000 years ago. As you understand this, let's go to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 6. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Sardis write, these things sent me to have the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and say the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know whatever hour, or what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I'll not blot his name out of the book of life, will confess his name before my Father and before his angels, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, let us remember that this portion of Scripture follows chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. Now let's read those verses, because we've got to get these verses to get our picture. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to make things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and then commit adultery with her to great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of saints as they speak, I will put none other burden upon you. Now, you and everyone knows that this is the Dark Ages. You don't need to be a theologian. You just have to be a historian. You can go to profane history, and in there you will find that everybody admits this was the Dark Ages under the Roman Catholic Church, when they were so despotic that almost the entire life of the gospel and the length thereof had gone out. A most despicable, terrible condition where they had two popes. They had three at one time. Where they hurled their curses at each other and lived in licentiousness as only a Roman orgy could afford. And yet the Roman Catholic Church has never apologized once for what they called the infallibility of the Pope. Well, I'll say this about the Pope. They're all infallibly rotten and sinners. I'll agree with that. But anything else I won't agree with. Not once have they apologized. Not once have they backed away from their most heinous and hideous doctrine, their ways of conducting themselves, purporting to be spiritual and claiming to be something. But you see, this was the Dark Ages. And out of the Dark Ages came the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 6, wherein was Luther, who by the grace of God was given the ability to bring about the beginning of the Reformation, which would one day end in a spiritual restoration of the Word of Almighty God. Now notice in that 2nd verse of chapter 3, I have not found thy works perfect before God. The word in the Greek for perfect means finished. He said, Luther, you're starting something. Messenger to this church age, you're starting something, but you're not finishing. You're the beginning of it, but you're not the conclusion. This age started to trail back to restoration under Luther. He only started, he could not finish it. But the seed of the great potential was already sown, and one day it would come to full restoration. What Luther preached, the just shall live by faith, was the corner that was turned in order to bring the people of God back to the true word of Almighty God, or to bring the faith of the children back to the faith of the Father. Now I want to ask this question this morning. Were the Roman Catholics, or was anybody aware of who Luther was? Did they know that he was actually Revelation 3 and verse 1? They did not. Yet and Luther stood before the people, and he could have said, here stands before you this day the scripture fulfilled. For I am Revelation 3 and verse 1, they would have laughed at the scorn. They would not have accepted that man. And right today, people don't accept him. They say Luther was a terrible person. How could he have been born again? Why, he encouraged the peasants to revolt. He took his stipend, his living from the government. He never, ever got away from the state. And they could say many terrible things. They said, well, he's the one that brought about the downfall and the terrible persecution of the Jews under Hitler. I don't believe that for one minute. That's what William Shirer says. And he is merely a historian, I would go to the Word of God. God said this man was his messenger. And if you're going to turn something down on Luther, and you're going to condemn Luther, then you'd better throw away your whole Bible, rip it in shreds, spit on it, and then burn it. Because David was a prophet, speaking in the first person, and he had 500 wives, and couldn't wait to seduce the pretty little woman he saw naked. And he killed her husband. You see, if you're going to judge what you think is the criterion that you've got to set up in this world, don't listen to God. If I got news for you, you might as well quit now and go to hell with bells on where they got a little bit of energy left to do it. Because you're never going to make it. See, Brother Bale, you're a mean, rough preacher, am I? I don't think so. I just try to nail the thing down to show you where you're going if you don't listen. That's all I'm trying to do. Bring it up here in the open and show you how ridiculous some people's statements are. And they're all over the world. They don't want to accept Luther as that one. They want to accept David. As far as I'm concerned, Luther's a better man than David if you want to pin it down the wall. One guy just ran off in the mountain and caused trouble. The other guy didn't even into it. Right. Luther wasn't even a prophet. David was. David spoke in the very first and it wounded my hands and my feet. How close can you touch Jesus Christ and fail? You still love the Bible? You got to accept some pretty shoddy character, so to speak. Because let's face it, it's not the person, it's the Holy Spirit. Certainly Luther was that messenger. Nobody could have done what Luther did, and nobody did what Luther did. Read your history. It wasn't Zwingli. No, sir. It wasn't Calvin later on. It wasn't Knox. It was none of those men. It wasn't Huss. Trace it where you want. There was only one man that could turn the tide. And that was Luther who stood there and said, God help me, that's all I can do. He stood in the tree. The just shadow of his father. Turning storm. Unto restoration. But history moves on. God dealt with another man in another age. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And in that verse 7. Under the messenger of the churches in the Philadelphia right. Wesley could have stood up. And Wesley could have said, listen, I am this word of God fulfilled before your very eyes. They wouldn't believe him, but it was. There was, because God said there'd be a messenger to the sixth church age. There was. Just like there was a messenger to the fifth, and the fourth, and the third, and the second, the one, and there'll be one to the seventh also. Now, this man furthered the ministry until it would come to restoration. Now let's turn to the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, and let's see this in print. But we want to understand the best we can how God is working this out. All right. 26 to 29, Mark 4. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. How is he talking about? The kingdom of God. God's kingdom. As if a man should cast grain or a seed into the ground. All right. He's got a parable here. And the man should sleep and rise night and day. Get up, go to bed, so on. And the seed should spring and grow up, the sower knows not how. Furthermore, he doesn't care. He has an out intelligence. He doesn't try to nose into things that don't belong to him. He just knows a good thing when he sees it. Does the man drink? Let alone? Huh? He should learn to relax. Now listen, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. The earth brings forth fruit. First the blade, then the air. After that, the full corn of grain in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. All right. Now, God, the kingdom of his, unto the process of the harvest, which is the resurrection and the rapture, culminating in the millennium, right?
Right.
The harvest is the resurrected group of the Old and New Testament who will form one kingdom in the millennium under the headship of the Son of Man, the Son of David, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the picture of it. Notice what it says. It says it's cast into the ground, and it comes forth in these stages. Blade, ear, full corn. That's not what the Greek said. The Greek does not say that. King James A. Virgin says it, and your German Bible may say it a whole lot better. In fact, I have great faith in the German translation by Luther,
which is the great standard translation of the ages. There's no doubt about it. Now, if you've got your German Bibles, you may find what the Greek says. The Greek says here, first the blade, then a covering for the grain. Blade, covering, then the grain in the covering. Notice, the blade comes first, then the covering, then the grain. They are all three separate, though they belong to the one plant. The grain is not the covering, and the covering is not the grain. The light goes from the blade to the covering, and from the covering to the grain, and by the time the light goes to the covering, it's already dead down here. It's all over. And by the time the light goes to the grain, the covering is nothing but a shuck. It's all in. And the chaff is reversed. Now, this is how God was bringing his church to restoration, because restoration puts you in the rapture. Right. There's no restoration, there is no kingdom of God. If I preach in that Friday night, I'll agree with you point by point by point. Show you what went wrong, where it went wrong, why it went wrong. How it comes back. There's got to be a restoration, see? Now, it shows you here, this is how the kingdom of God comes in. The grain of wheat, as Brother Branham said, not knowing the Greek, not even using this as background, said it has to be like Christ, fall into the ground and die, which it did in the 4 days. Then, in the next day, it set forth a little shoot, right? Then it set forth something to come towards the grain. Then it got into a shuck condition, right? And then in the shuck, there formed the grain of God. Now there's your kingdom, see? And it's coming to pass, and it's come to pass in these stages, until at the end time, there is going to be a harvest taken off the earth. Now then, time is moving on. And we come to the last time that God moved, which is in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. And here he says here, unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea write, these things that the amen, and so on. Now, God, according to his word, to the law he laid down, is going to bring into manifestation and thereby interpret the word of God for the last time. Every time God interprets his word by fulfilling it, he explains it, and it takes the revelation to get it. At the last time, God is going to fulfill his word, and then he's going to explain it, and then he's going to send a revelation. Exactly what God must do. If at the end time, then God says, I have a messenger to Laodicea. So there must be a man stand up before Jesus Christ comes, and if he will say so, by the Holy Ghost, he can say, I am the Word of God fulfilled before your eyes. I am Revelation 3 and 14. All right? Let's find out from the Bible. Let's turn to Revelation 10. See if we've got a witness here. Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, should be completed and consummated, perfect yet and consummated. It's brought to its complete finish and peace in Christ and his soul. Because the word finish means to perfect and to consummate. And the word to perfect, rather, the word finish is like a carpenter taking the finest grade of sandpaper and bringing the wood to the last finish of all of it. Perfect. Consummate. Perfect. Now, listen. The mystery of God. What's the last mystery happens to the bride? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So therefore, this messenger here, as the seventh messenger, is the seventh church age messenger, and he appears to bring the message, the word of God, that will bring about the rapture, because the last mystery to the bride is the mystery of how you can be in a resurrection without dying, because you've got to die to have a resurrection. If you want that. And the last mystery. And then he's caught up to the Lord in glory. So God says, I'm sending you a prophet. Now, what if that man shows up today? Say, I'm a prophet. Here stands before you the word of God. Let's go to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I guess we could quote this, but might as well turn to it. Here again, it's not written quite exactly according to the original, but it's very good. And I imagine your German Bibles, I don't know if they
Old Testament translated all by Luther. I know the Greek certainly was.
Listen, it says here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What's the great and dreadful day of the Lord? 3.5 years today. How do I know? Because John saw the day of the Lord. Six seals. There are six seals. For the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what's this man going to do? He's going to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. Now, let's go to portion. It's been fulfilled. You don't read it. When the word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. That's right. No word of God can pass away till all be fulfilled. That's been fulfilled. Passed away. You can't read it there anymore. Your eyes can look at it. That's fine. But your mind must place it where it belongs in the past. Now, Elijah will turn the heart of the children back to their fathers, lest I come and smite utterly. Smite utterly the earth of the dirt. Now, you know the rapture is no curse. So therefore, Elijah's got to come before the rapture. That's right. So therefore, Elijah's got to come to the Gentiles. Because they get raptured. All right. Luke 17. Matthew 17. I'm sorry, Matthew 17. Not Luke. All right. Notice in verse 11. And Jesus answered and said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Come when? Come before the kingdom of God is set up. Before the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the Old and New Testament saints in the millennium. So Elijah has got to come before that time. And remember, since the Gentiles are part of that kingdom, read it yourself in chapter 13, the book of Acts. Either 13 or 15. They're about that kingdom. You'll find they're part of it, and they must be in the rapture, so therefore Christ must send Elijah before the rapture in order to bring them to the kingdom. All right, also Acts, the 3rd chapter. We'll dwell on that more lengthy to give you an understanding. All right, Acts 3, 19 to 24. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the times refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you, not with priest, was appointed. The word priest is not in the Greek, it's appointed. Whom the heaven must receive, the rapture word is retained, the heavens must retain him, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets as the world began. Jesus Christ cannot come in the rapture to take us to himself up there until Elijah first comes. It's got to be restoration. God said he would send a prophet. God said he would send Revelation 3:14, Revelation 10 and 7, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, Matthew 17, 11, Acts 3, 19 to 24, also Luke 17, 26 to 30. God said he would do it. Now, and his coming will have exactly the same effect with the people as is recorded in the Word. Now listen, the majority of people, now listen carefully, the majority of people in the world, when this man comes, the majority of people will be entirely unaware of what is going on. And especially, they'll misunderstand what God is doing. Now, didn't they in the day of Israel? Did they know what God was doing? They misunderstood entirely. Did they know the word was being fulfilled? They did not. Now, they will not know that God is interpreting his word for them. Now, get that, please. When this man comes, all right, let's go over here. But I don't know if you're getting it, and I want to stop for long, make sure you get it. Does the Bible say there is a seventh church age messenger? It does. Does it say there is a messenger who is going in the days of his voice? When he shall sound, the entire mystery of God is finished. That's right. And the bride is going to be gone, because there's no mystery left. All right. Did he also say Elijah must truly come and restore? He did. All right, listen then. What are you looking for? A horse and buggy? An Empire State Building? An atomic bomb? a hole in the ground, a tongue-talking revival, 15 million people out of 15 million people healed by the Holy Ghost? No! What will you look for? Brother Dale, I'm going shopping. What for, brother dear? I want to buy a new suit. Well, come with me. I'll take the livery stable. We'll get a horse and buggy. Oh, boy, is that guy kooky. No, I'm not kooky. I'm a real, sensible, fine, spirit-filled Christian, according to modern tradition. We go to the stable. He gets a suit. Looks so hurt. Well, the coal mine is what? Get a light bulb or something? Well, you may find one down there, but they're not manufactured there. Yet you read the scripture that God said he's going to send the man, but suddenly he's not a man anymore. Suddenly your senses desert him. I'm not meaning you as a thinker, I just mean the principle of things. Suddenly we're no longer intelligent. Suddenly we're... Yeah. Challenge you, prove me wrong. Why did you crucify Jesus Christ? Now, don't look at me and say, brother, hell, that's sledding bun. You better hold your tongue. The elect of God. The only ones that knew God. The only ones God even looked upon. The ones to whom Jesus came. The only one who had any chance of recognition at all. They in one place, under one government, under one God, under one jurisdiction, under one high priest, under one theology. We scattered all over the world with thousands of ideas and thousands of preachers and thousands of cults and ethics. Do you think we've got a half a chance of recognizing the truth at the end time if they turn to now flat? Now look, I'm not smart. My IQ is not very high. I never would make a great professor or pass any college test. And this to me is just as clear as A, B, C. God said, I'll send a man, so you look for the man. I don't look for a woman preacher. I don't look for a school of prophets. I don't look for a couple of apostles who make or break or anything else. I look for a man. I look for a prophet. What that prophet will be and all, I've got to go to the Word of God and find out. But, brother, sister, in my day, God is guaranteed he will interpret his word by fulfilling it by sending a man who is a prophet. Now, and I know this, the majority of people will be absolutely unaware of what is going on, and those who are aware will not understand. Because that's the way it goes. The prophet will explain it to them, right? And those who stand to watch it, knowing that something is going on, they will not be able to apprehend it because it takes a revelation from Almighty God. The prophet will stand before the people and he will explain it. And they will refuse to believe it. Right. Now, come on. Did Jesus do that? Or did he? Well, come on, did he? Some of you are a little worried I'm going to pin you down. See, I was Pentecost for most of my life, but I don't mind being pinned down. Was he the Word of God? Was he the one born of a virgin? was he that one in Isaiah? Certainly. Sure. Did they do to him like the Bible said? How many knew it? How many knew they were doing? Nobody. His own apostles, his own disciples fled or left him. His parents couldn't figure him out. That is, his mother couldn't figure him out. We use the word parents because he means the family relation that he was born in. They didn't understand what was going on. He explained it to them. Sure. And the best the people could do when they saw the Word of God fulfilled before them and explained by him, a grain of wheat must fall on the ground and die, destroy this temple, I'll raise up in 3 days. He said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. When he told them point blank, they still never got the explanation. They're right. Nobody got it. What makes people think when this prophet comes on the scene of any difference? You think for 1 minute if he got up and he said, I'm going to tell you something, they'd listen? They can't. Now, it's easy to stay here this morning and say, well, I'm sure I would. not true.
One more.
Now listen, on this point, and here's where we come to the hard stuff now. The prophet will have to explain who he is and what he's doing. And this is going to receive great resistance because the prophet has to testify to himself, right? Brother, he sure does, because if he doesn't know who he is, don't ask me. Brother Dale, who am I? Oh, look at kid, I got a job figure myself on for a day. Now that sounds silly. I need it to sound silly to jar you. So this is the way I teach, is to jar your thinking, to hold up these silly things we harbor here to ridicule you and make you know where you're going if you hang on to what you got. That's otherwise I wouldn't waste my time, because we're wasting your time. If I wanted to be a clown, I might as well take lessons and make money. I'm not worried about the money. I'm not trying to be a clown. I'm just trying to show you something. Now listen, John 8, verses 13 to 14. Let's read them. The Pharisees therefore said to Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Now what if we'd have been there? I want to tell you, I'd have recognized it. Yes, sir. When I saw that going on, I'd have sure noted. Yeah. I know. Anybody can talk, brother, sister. Talk sweet. But it's also very costly. Would we have recognized him? How can you recognize God in a simple, sweet person the world's full of? So I'd have seen miracles. How do you know? In one place he did not make mighty miracles. Other places he just turned right away. Didn't do it then. How do you know? You might not have seen the miracle. You might have been one of those that said, show us a miracle. In fact, I'll tell you what, show us the kind of miracle you want to see. And he said, I'm sorry. I won't do that kind of miracle. I will fulfill the word of God, though, as Jonas was 3 days and 2 nights in the heart to tell you the will. So I'll be in the heart to hear it. Well, I sure know the word, but you can't find it. You can't find it. See where you get in trouble? Where does it say in the book of Jonah, Jesus was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? The psalmist said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy holy one to see corruption. But Jesus came and put the two together and then told what it meant. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the psalmist said this about me, and I'm telling you the time limit within 3 days. I can't take that, no, sir. That's not honest. Well, I'm telling you the truth. He said, you bear record of yourself, and your record is not true. Now listen, Jesus said, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. All right, now listen to me. When this man comes on the scene, and he testifies to himself, you're going to say, now, just don't talk about me. Who do you think you are? I'm going to nail it down this morning, brother, sister. I won't ask you to raise your hands here because I don't want to embarrass anybody or put you on the spot or not put you on the spot, because I have no reason to ask you to raise your hand. But if I want you to answer this question now in your heart, do you really believe that you're born again and full of the Holy Ghost? Because the same thing, really. Do you really believe that you're a Christian? Have you ever testified to anybody that you're born again? Have you? And I want you to prove it that you can. There's not one who can prove you're born again this morning. You're not one. I can't. Your pastor can't. Nobody can. And don't bat your eyes at him, because I'll challenge him. Say, go ahead and prove it, Carney. He can't do it. Now, why do you testify you're born again? Why do you ever tell anybody you ought to get saved like you? You see, what I'm trying to show you is you've got to testify. But you can't prove a thing. Then why do people turn up their nose at a man that God sends like a prophet and said he would send and say, well, you testified to him. You make yourself a prophet. Well, you make yourself a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, brother, sister. And as far as I know, the body of Christ knows no difference in the membership. They're all one in Jesus. And if you want to be recognized then as a part of the body of Christ, you better listen to somebody else's testimony, too. You've got to testify. And you got to testify to yourself. And here was Jesus with a great ministry testifying of who he was. And he could prove it. And they said, kill him.
You know what happened to Stephen when he testified to Jesus? He never even testified to himself. He just testified to Jesus. He said, Jim, what do you feel like testifying to a man that you believe is a prophet in this 20th century? We like it. But they say, that much. They worship the man. Christ or Branham, truth or error. I read what a person wrote here on the Trinity. The Trinity, here's the verse he uses. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. The Bible said it's a man. He doesn't call him God. How can this man read English that wrote this? I don't know who wrote it. Western Trent. Can you read English? The Bible said he's a man. God can't be born. God can't die. I can't go on. There's a man between me and God. I give up now. I couldn't stand in the presence of God to reveal my heart and let me people know what I'm like and what I am inside. But I've got a man. God raised him. He feels everything I feel. He knows every shock my system goes through, every temptation, every battle, every failure. Can't even read one of these. Hate you? Stephen didn't even testify to himself. Yeah, I'm born again, bless God. He said, look what that man did. He said, God anointed him. God approved him. He's raised from the dead. They said, kill him. The people went on witnessing, didn't they? Because it was the truth, my brother and my sister. And I don't care. Every word in that Bible is the same truth as every other word. And if it says there's an end time messenger, that's the same truth as it says a virgin shall bear a son. Child. Hallelujah. I'm feeling religious now. Once in a while I go. Maybe I'm feeling more religious. I said, this prophet has to testify to himself just like Jesus did, just like John did. But you can't receive just any testimony because there's going to be a lot of them. According to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 23 and 24, let's read it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. In the Greek it reads, there shall arise false Christ. Murmurs shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and done what work? He said, I never knew you. Insomuch, if it were possible, thank God it is not possible. The very elect cannot be deceived. Everybody but the elect will be deceived. In other words, there are going to be two. There are going to be people on the earth at the end time. There'll be one group with the correct message. There'll be one group with the false message. There'll be a prophet with the true message. There'll be many prophets with the wrong message. The prophets with the wrong message will have just as many signs and wonders or more than the other prophets. And they'll both testify to themselves. Absolutely. And how are we going to know which man to listen to? Deuteronomy 18. This'll do it. Now this is the word of God, brother, sister. And I agree with Brother Gunther. I just don't like the feeling all my pet phrases. I never wrote the book. All I do is preach it. So we're defending ourselves now, ministerial brethren here. And I'm defending you too. Because you never wrote this book. Remember when the king sends the herald. He does not tell the herald. Now, you get him to believe. You make sure they believe. He said, herald, there's one thing. Tell him what I said. And gallop off. What they do is their business. Your soul's delivered the minute you bring my message. Right? That's the word of God. But the prophet, verse 20, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, thus saith the Lord. When you come in the name of the Lord, that's thus saith the Lord. If you come in the name of Lee Bale, that is thus saith Lee Bale, or shut up. You came in the name of Brother Gunther, that is thus saith Brother Gunther. Don't you dare fool with it. You say what he said. And I'll back up what I said. He'll back up what he said. When you come with thus saith the Lord, remember Brother Branham said, when has it ever failed? When I came to you in the name of the Lord.
quoting right from this. Which, now listen, a prophet presumed to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How we know the word which the Lord has spoken? How are we going to know this business here? Listen, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet spoke it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Here's your test right here. If this man is going to be a prophet according to the word of God, and he is going to restore the word of God according to Acts 3, verses 19 to 24, that prophet must have thus saith the Lord. It'll never fail, and no one else will have it. You show me one person got thus saith the Lord, I'll tell you, Brother Branham. You say, Brother Bill, I know a lot. Just bring me one of them. Just bring me one of them, that's all I want to know. You say, well, I'll tell you, I've heard a man say thus saith the Lord, like William Branham, but he said also, then just take your Bible and rip it up. That where's the match? Got a match here? Is that fired? I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm being absolutely honest and true. If God lied here about a prophet, then, Brother Sister, you and I are just the biggest bunch of fools ever were. Because if he's got two prophets that have thus said the Lord, and they say opposite, then if God's mixed up, what about you and me? You show me one prophet that thus said the Lord outside of William Branham. Oh, anybody can say thus said the Lord. That's great. Anybody, I could do it myself. I wouldn't dare. Pentecostal full of thus said the Lord, my little children, quit your fussing and feuding. So what? I can go to the Lord and say, shut up and learn to get along. You don't even need God to say that. Anybody in your right mind knows that. Huh? See, when you boil these things down, they look awful silly, don't they? Come back to the dignified, strong tower of the Word of God, brother, sister. God said, when I send that man with us, saith the Lord, you better fear him. Better listen to him. See? We might have our own ideas, but here's what God said. This man to be a prophet will be a man of visions of the Word and vindicated by God, because God said so, and he will never fail. They'll accuse him of failing. I've heard that many times. Oh, Brother Dale, they said, I know Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. And I said, now hold it. What did he exactly say? Well, he was a meeting in India, and he said, you're healed. I said, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Play the whole tape back. And he said, if you believed it. And I said, sure, they're healed. They've been healed by Christ 2,000 years ago. But show me where he said, thus saith the Lord. Couldn't produce it. Oh, they'll say he couldn't do it, but he did it. Yeah, but he cannot fail if he is a word prophet. See, fear him. He's a word prophet. You got to hear him and fear him. He can't fail, see? Now, and neither can his doctrine be wrong, because he has a thus saith the Lord, vindicated by God, and that thus saith the Lord vindication is not simply to indicate that he is a prophet, but it's actually given to him to prove to you that he has the word. That his doctrine is correct. Let's go to John 7. Verse 16, if I have it correct. Jesus answered, the doctrine is not mine, but him, his that sent me. Paul said, I received the revelation. What came the word of God unto you, or came the word of God out of you? Well, that's a good question. Did you produce the word of God, or did you listen to somebody? Oh, said the Corinthian church, we admit, Paul, that you brought us the word. Then he said, you better listen to me. The word never came out, it came unto you. See? I didn't write this Bible. It came to me. Paul said, I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He said to those Corinthians, I proved it by my miracle ministry. How did Jesus prove his ministry? If I had not done the works nor the man did, they had not sinned. But now they've seen both me and my Father and hated both me and my Father. That's right. Then he brought the word of God to them. Based on the fact that he had the right, because he said, if I had not done what no other man did. Paul said, if I had not done what no other man did, you could have turned me back. But he said, I showed you I had the word of God. Yes, thus saith the Lord.
Jesus had thus said the Lord. Moses had thus said the Lord. Every real word prophet had thus said the Lord. William Branham had thus said the Lord. And that was not to prove that there was a thus said the Lord for the sake of thus said the Lord. The thus said the Lord was for the sake of the word, that you might believe that you're hearing the right prophet, because no other prophet had it. And yet in my state of Ohio, which I love with all my heart, of all the states in the Union, there were two men from Pentecost. Now, they said it, so I don't mind naming names. They were Mr. Dubus and Mr. Lindsay. And they stood in the Chautauqua meeting in 1959 or 60, I forget which it was. And they said, you people listen to us now. William Branham is a prophet in the trance and the vision. When he tells you what's wrong with you, you know, maybe you got a little bit of fuzz on your gungalitis up here. Halitosis down here in the feet, you know, that's it. Isn't that great to be a prophet to tell you you got halitosis? Doctor tell you that. Oh, he's a prophet when he does that. But when he teaches the word, he's all messed up. Don't listen. What is a prophet anyway but to bring the word? Why was that thus saith the Lord? That thus saith the Lord was to bring us to the word. Amen. To prove that when he spoke, you listen and you fear him. I tell you, I wish you people could have known William Branham like I knew. I'm not saying this now to make you think I'm somebody. But it was an education to be around that man, around the word of God. Because no man was ever as serious and sober that this world has ever seen like William Branham when it came to that word of the living God. It was not an act. It was a holy, hushed walk of every breath, consecrated and fearful before the Lord God of hosts. I saw. You know what I'm talking about. This man will come and restore us back to the truth, because that's what Acts says. He will restore all that was spoken by the mouth of all the prophets. What was spoken by the mouth of the prophets? The word of God. So therefore he will restore the word of God. People say, well, Brother Bill, I believe we're going to restore the world. Now you go right ahead. You do what you want. I'm only talking about the prophet. And if God lets you, I'm not believing God's going to let you even do that. See, my doctrine might not agree with yours. I don't know what you believe. I'm not laddering, not by a jugful or a hatful or a hairful. I don't believe it for one second. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But Brother Branham told me, now, this is maybe not in the tape. And you can take my witness if you want. It's okay if you don't, because I don't like quoting anything that's not in the tape. But one day, he said, Brother Bale, the closest to the real thing that ever hit this earth was latter rain, but they missed it. Just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If you feel bad about it, I'm sorry. But look, we're not here to worry about feelings. I'm not trying to make you feel bad and me feel good. But we had a vindicated prophet. If you want to know any more, I'll tell you frankly. I went in one day and I said, Brother Branham, I'm a little bit confused. I said, is this blood and oil of God or of the devil? He said, it is of the devil. Now, if you feel bad, I'm sorry for you. But maybe you people like to hear some of these things that are just laid in the counter. Let him answer to God. I'm quoting what he said, just like Timothy quoted Paul. Let Paul answer what Timothy said. I'm going to quote what he told me. Because they asked me. Those were the conditions under which the church age book was paraphrased for, see? Now listen, he will be this great man who will bring us back to the truth. Now, bringing us up to date, the messenger has come and gone. That's right. Brother Branham is gone. He said he would not be taken till his work was finished. He said the opening of the seven seals gave the bride all she needed to put in the rapture. He was the prophet of the former reign. He brought it. It was a teaching reign. The Spirit of God has fallen upon it because in 1965, exactly where the sword came to his hand, where the sword came to his hand, the dove appeared in 1965. The sword is the Word. The dove is the Holy Spirit. See? We are right back to the grain within the chaff. The grain is lying in the sun. The full life of, now listen, the full life of all the ages is now pouring into the wheat that's lying in the sun, that's lying in the chaff. Now, she's not part of the chaff. She's just lying in the chaff. Eight. See? Now, listen. Let's go to Revelation 10 now. I'll get you out of here in the next 10 or 12 minutes. Now, listen. Verse 8. Where the angel stood on land and sea, he said in verse 9, take the book and eat it. In verse 11, he said, thou must prophesy. Now watch this. Thou must prophesy. Again, before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Again, you will not find this on a tape. I hope you can, but I don't think you can. You write in the church age book, I said, Brother Branham, is this you who must prophesy before kings and nations? He said, no, it is not I. It is the Word of God. All right, let's watch now. You're going to be prophecy, right? Prophecy's here, Mark, is that correct? Okay, hold your finger there. Or don't need to hold your finger there, but it's okay if you do, because we'll go back later. Let's go to the book of Acts. Second chapter. Verse 16, the Holy Ghost fell. Hey, I'm not getting you waterlogged, am I? I mean, you can still catch what I'm saying? Because if you're just getting waterlogged, we might as well taper off and start, you know, over again, sort of, because you can sort of, Brother Branham, say, wear the people out, and I don't want to wear you out. See, now listen. As the Holy Ghost fell, they said, what is it? Peter said in verse 16, quoting the Septuagint, the Old Testament in Greek, word for word, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass in the last, L-A-S-T, not the first, but the last day. So every Pentecostal theologian tries to make the last days from Pentecost of today. How ridiculous can you get? Last is last. I'm in my last days now. I'm 56. I'm not a kid of 12 years old anymore. 44 years gone by. I had my first days in my first 10, 20 years. I'm in the last days now. Last is last. Not very bald, not very great, but not very stable. Anyway, your old body's weakening. Now I feel it in my bones and outside of my bones too. Bursitis, arthritis, you name it. I don't have them exactly, but you can give them. I got a philosophy, though, just to encourage you. Diseases come and diseases go, so the last one comes and you go with it. In the last days, not the first, but the last, said God, God speaking, I will pour my spirit upon A-double-L flesh. I don't care whose flesh, anybody's flesh. You say, what about that drunkard? Sure. Oh, this will start you. But you didn't read the way it's written. You've been reading the Pentecost way for many years. A-double-L is A-double-L. Oh, I know the Baptist theologian. He'll say, well, all means just regardless of kind and area and so on. Does it? Let's find out. Let's see if I'm right or the theologian's right. And your sons and your daughters, see, shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my... So I'm right, the theologians are wrong. Right, nice to be right, isn't it? Now, if you agree to write with me, not because I do, because the Bible says so. He said, yours and mine, A-double-L. That makes all that, right? There are two worlds. God saved Noah, which was God's world, and the world of the ungodly perished. That was all. This is all here, A-double-L flesh. His group, their group. Now he said they're all going to have the Spirit poured upon them. And notice the earmark. They would all prophesy. Right? Hold your peace. Back to Revelation now. Let me see if it's chapter 19 where I want to go. I never remember anything. And I forget to mark it most of the time. Chapter 19 is right. And I'm going to mark it this time. Not my pencil here. Not my eyesight. Now verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the prophecy of the two groups of people. One tells the word of God right, the other tells it wrong. That's why even the women prophesy. That's why the men prophesy. That's why everybody the last time prophesied. Why? Because there's a spirit. One is a spirit of error, so close to the real that the unreal will be doing signs and wonders and miracles just like the real one did. But one will be off the word and one will be on the word. There'll be the false prophet, there'll be the true prophet, and there'll be those that witness to both sides. There'll be those, I want to tell you, brother so-and-so is right because, bless God, your prophet's dead. And I want to tell you, our great tent ministry man we got here, he's got more miracles and more signs and wonders. He's got colleges and universities and Cadillacs and Chryslers, and he's, yeah, sure he has. He hasn't got the word. Right, there you are. And they'll testify, And at the end time, the Bible says we're going to be divided right down the middle. I don't mean one side on this side, like 50% here, 50% there. I mean there's going to be a dividing line. And that dividing line is going to be the spirit of truth and error. Where do you stand with the Word of God?
Amen.
Will you stand with the vindicated prophet, or will you go your own way? Where's your vindication? See, not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, Brother Sister, but look, I want to tell you, I've seen vision, I've had vision in technicolor just like I'm looking at you. I've prophesied time after time with witnesses. I say with witnesses, I'll prove it to you. What I said came to pass time after time, just like I said it. Right. I've had discerning meetings with Brother Brown. Said, Brother Bed, you had great discernment, and you had some real discernment, but he said some of it had a margin of error, so he said it wasn't real, so you leave it alone. I left it alone. But about 99 out of 100, I could take people, lay my hands on, tell them all about themselves. Yeah, they're right there in Alberta, here, around that preaching various places out in British Columbia, down through Washington, Oregon, into California. I can name you places, take you all around America and show you where it took place, wherever the people are living right today. Not once or twice, but hundreds of times. And I am absolutely unvindicated. I never had thus saith the Lord in my life. I've got one hope, that I can be a Timothy to a Paul, and I'll say what Paul said.
Amen.
Like Timothy tried to say it. Okay, now listen. Let's go now to this is the word I said. Let's go to Luke 21. I add 5 minutes to that, 12 minutes, please. I saw the food downstairs. It's good and it's lots of it, so you get a little hungry when you get there. You'll eat better when you get there, so just stick around. Don't feel bad. We're having the word here, and that's the count. All right, 21, the 21st chapter. And getting over there, beginning at verse 8, I don't have to read it all maybe, but listen, take heed that you be not deceived. Many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. The time draweth near. Still not. Rapture still doesn't take place. Go not after them. But when you hear wars, commotion, be not terrified. Squeeze starts to come down. Don't worry. End is just coming. Nation rise against nation. King against kingdom. Earthquakes are coming. Famines, pestilence, fearful sights. What is that word, fearful sight? Hallucinations. Right. Hallucinations are coming, people going crazy. That's right. Great signs from the heaven, portents. See? And before all these, now listen, they'll lay, now this is, this part of this goes to the great tribulation. Now listen to this. They'll lay hands on you, persecute you, deliver you, put you in prison, bring you before kings. Now listen, it'll turn to you for a testimony. That's right. Settle it in your heart not to meditate what you're going to say beforehand. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. You'll be betrayed and so on, but not a hair head will perish. You'll possess your soul in patience. God says in the end time here, brother, sister, this word the prophet gave us is going to go around the world to all nations, all over the country. It says there are going to be people, as you testify, God will give you the words. He'll bless you. This word's going to go out, the true word of Almighty God, by the people at the end time. Certainly will. Now, listen. What's happening? There'll be no more perversion in the bride. That's right. The word of God will be pure, unadulterated. There won't be one word added. There won't be one word taken away. And the best of all is this. There will not be the word of God handled outside of the framework of the word. By that I mean there won't be one woman creature in it.
No, sir.
There won't be one person with signs and wonders and miracles in that bride that doesn't go right down the word with that word. There, that's right. All these years we've seen people handle that word wrong, but there won't be one bride doing it wrong. She'll be one with the word. She'll have the word. She'll know what to do with the word, and she'll have thus saith the Lord. What does it mean? I don't know. It'd be wonderful when it gets here. Yes, sir. It's like the woman having that baby. Oh, she has a lot of pain to get it. But when she gets the baby, she doesn't worry about all the months of pregnancy and varicose veins and vomiting and all that. She's just so happy with that little baby. That's the way I feel we're going to be at this when we become one of that word, thus said the Lord. I don't know what it's all about. We're going through a period now, but it'll be fine when it gets here. You'll forget all the past. It'll be just right. Now listen, that's coming up the future. Listen, this word here, that the prophet brings us to be one of the bride. Now, the prophet has already explained what will happen. He told us what to do. So let us take his explanation and live with the word until we can live it out. It'll come. This is not the word by letter. This is the word of light. Christ the word has appeared to the bride by the revealed word. Now he is beginning to appear in the bride. Right? And one day, the full manifestation of Christ the Word will appear in the bride.
That's right.
I believe this is when they come and say, not just give us your oil, but they say, we want to get in that wedding supper. See? Right. The full manifestation. Now, I don't know too much about this. Because remember, the book of Daniel says, in the days of the fourth kingdom, the kingdom of God would be on this earth. That's right.
True.
And there'll be a complete bride from the dust, right? A complete bride will be standing on this earth in the resurrection. I think 30 to 40 days. Right. And it will be the complete manifestation of Christ in that bride. Now, I don't know what it means, but it's going to happen because that's the Bible. I don't understand. Maybe we'll be changed by then, or maybe we'll be walking in our natural flesh. Well, that's right around us. Whether we're going to be sitting and talking, I hope we do. I don't know. But I know from the Word of God, what the prophet taught, there will be a complete manifestation of Christ, the Word, in the bride. Amen. Right on earth. Now, brother, sister, how is it going to take place? I'm not worried how it's going to take place. My thought this morning is why it takes place, because God sent the prophet. I might say many things more, but I will not just close with this. Another page of notes, but I don't need them. I think I covered the subject. God's ways misunderstood. God misunderstood, and yet the people see him doing it. Now, I don't know what. Canada was blessed when Brother Branham came, especially Alberta. Today in Calgary, what, they say three families? I haven't heard of one family in Penticton. He was in Penticton. Edmonton seems to have a few. But who in Edmonton saw the prophet? Maybe some families that believe this message saw. See, I don't know. But you know, America saw William Branham, a man sent from God. Towns of 7,000 population in a week bolted to 30,000 as people came in to be healed. A miracle ministry that shook the world, literally. And yet, you know, it wasn't long till people said, hey, you know, there was a great fellow called Branham. He died, didn't he? And he wasn't even dead. He died about 10 years after that. It was noise abroad that William Branham was dead. They saw a ministry, brother, sister, that made the people say, Bible days are here again, meaning that they saw the very ministry of Jesus Christ reproduced on this earth. And one night in 1953 in Florida, Daddy Bosworth took my coat and said, Brother Dale, I've prayed for 40 years to see the ministry of Christ return to this earth, and there it is in that man. He spoke the Bible and didn't even know it. Because it says in the book of Luke, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As the days of Noah repeated, so the days of the Son of Man repeated, and the ministry of Christ returned to earth in a prophet. See? And the world didn't even know it. The world didn't even know it. 99%, as far as I would be trying to guess figures this morning, never even heard of this great man of God that came on the scene. And the little 1% that did see him, they said, oh, this is strange. He's got the greatest ministry since Christ. This is fantastic. You know what he says? He said, I adjure you, come out of him, just like Jesus did. And they get and they come out of him. That's great. And then he says, thus saith the Lord, and it never fails. They were carried away. When he began to teach, they said, the guy is ridiculous. He's naive. He's like a child. He hasn't got a mentality. He says the most ridiculous things. See? And they left him. And a little teeny-weensy-weensy, 0.1% or 100, I don't know what it was, maybe 101%, that stood by and watched the prophet, they said, say, something's going on here. And we watched him. I was in that crowd, and I watched him. And I said, he keeps telling me that he's supposed to bring the message. Why didn't he bring a message? I couldn't figure it. And I'd look around, and I couldn't figure why he was saying things. I couldn't understand his explanation. I couldn't. That's the way the people were. But one day the Holy Spirit began to reveal it. And that made the difference. That made the difference. So, brother, sister, this morning, you may wonder why people won't take this message, although you've got to testify till Jesus comes and win all the souls you can. Don't let down. Be missionary. Take every caution and precaution you can to make sure that you're a soul winner. See? Stick to this word. The world won't take it. They can't take it. Because they've got to run through the form. But you've got to testify. You've got to take the word up. But I preach this sermon not to show you anything new. I don't think I've said a thing you haven't known before. But I've tried to show you why the people will not understand. Why you've had a job yourself understanding. Why things are the way they are this very moment in which we live. And I'm trying to show you it is absolutely normal. It is exactly right. There is nothing wrong. Everything is the way God ordained it, brother, sister. Don't worry about it. Just love with all your heart. Serve God the best you can. And above all, stick to this word. Because millions love the Lord as much as they can with all their heart. They do their best to serve Him, but they don't know the word and they never will. But here is where you and I stand. See, it's just true to form. Keep it in your heart to help you have grace and understanding for the days that are ahead, because I believe the days ahead are going to be rougher than the days that are behind. I believe they're going to be more crucial. I believe there'll be more intolerance, more indifference, more problems. But just stick with this message this morning. This is the way it always was. It'll be no different with us. The Lord bless you. I think you're right. Or let's just pray and then Brother Comfort dismiss. You may have something to say to you. Heavenly Father, I've done my best this morning, Lord, in different ways, some hard, some kind of mean, sarcastic, or even humorous, Lord, to show the people that how your ways are misunderstood. And it always has been that way. And it's always going to be that way until, Lord, we're caught up. And then we're going to be in a new area entirely and part of that kingdom here upon earth. Lord, help the people to realize this and thereby consolidate their faith. This morning is perhaps never before to see this is just the way it is. To learn how the prophet could stand back and be surrounded by that which was so hard for him to endure. It was at times such a mockery, such a battle. And then he said, well, you see, if I didn't have that around me, I know it wasn't the true ministry because this is the way it's got to be. Lord, I pray that your people will realize this is the way it's got to be. The ones they testify to me never receive it. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Some things may be hard to understand, and there's a long time waiting for revelation. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Lord, help them all this morning, I pray. May they ever glorify your name by standing like Abraham, strong in the faith which is in the Word of God. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you, Brother Gunn.